This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Wong Shaoning and Roshan Kanasan. It's 7:36 in the morning, Thursday the 23rd of January, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, Chairman of the Electoral Reform Committee. So the ERC was set up by Pakatan Harapan shortly after GE14, and they've just submitted an interim report to the Prime Minister proposing bold reforms to the Malaysian electoral system. How feasible are these proposals and how committed is the government to implementing them? We discuss this with the chairman of the ERC, Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, later on after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, though, we are taking a look this morning at the World Economic Forum, which is in full swing over in Davos, Switzerland, and it's where the global elite of the business, politics and civil society sphere convene to discuss the biggest issues facing the world.
Yes, and apparently some of the biggest issues in the world today are sustainability and stakeholder capitalism. These are among the big themes this year. But are the discussions there actually have a tangible effect? Or is it really just a lot of hot air?
Well, you know my views on it.
Yes. I'm sure you'll remind us later, Shaoning, but before that, let's get someone else's views on this.
Indeed, because for some thoughts of what kind of an impact Davos actually makes in terms of sustainability efforts, we have on the line with us Chandran Nair, economist and founder of the Global Institute for Tomorrow, or GIFT. So Chandran is actually in Davos attending this year's conference. Thank you for joining us, Chandran. So for the benefit of those who can only dream of attending the World Economic Forum, could you describe for us the atmosphere over in Davos?
Well, it's very cold for starters, so it's not for for tropical people like me. But the atmosphere depends on, you know, who you are and where what you're looking for. At the main Congress itself, the atmosphere is as you would expect for one of the premier global events, very, very intense. There's a lot of good discussions. Dare I say, a lot of hubris. The American president was here, and I think no one would disagree with me that most of it was hubristic. But people turn up to listen. Why, I don't know. I was not there. So there is, without a doubt, an elitist atmosphere here. And when you walk down the promenade outside the Congress, all the big global brands, and by that I mean typically the Western big brands, are all there. This time the theme was supposed to be sustainability, etc., more responsible capitalism. But the whole street where the big brands take over buildings and have their little lounges, it's very hard to see how these brands, and I'm not being anti-big brands or capitalism, are actually going to do anything about these challenges, given that the core issues are their business models. The atmosphere is one of anticipation, elitism, but also one of, in my view, deep dishonesty at one level.
So, Chandran, as you mentioned, Davos this year has put sustainability at the forefront of its agenda with its theme of stakeholder capitalism. Big brands on the promenade aside, how serious or sincere is this engagement on these issues from other participants here? There?
You see, there's three, four tiers of people who turn up here. There are the headliners, and there are the government, and there are essentially the business leaders of the world. And I think you know as well as I do, every business leader in the world, except for the odd one here or there, is going to say all the most pious words about, yes, we need to be more responsible, we need to manage climate, etc. And at a personal level, I don't think any of them are insincere to that extent. At the same time, I know that they know those pious statements do not translate them into how they operate on a day-to-day basis and how their large organizations essentially pursue growth. And I don't think Davos or the world at large has made that transition into understanding that problem. So I think the sincerity is not the issue. It's the intellectual discourse we need to mainstream that cuts right at the core of our existential threat. That is not fear-mongering, and I'm not suggesting doom and gloom, but if we are to navigate the next 50 years, we have to really look, look in the belly of the beast and look in the mirror and say, we can do it differently. And that's really the challenge. And quite a few CEOs said to me, this is spot on, but very few of them will say it on stage. That's been my experience for 20 years.
And you've written about this recently, calling for the developing world to take the lead on sustainability efforts in light of the ineffectiveness of Western states on this front. But given the challenges or limitations that developing countries themselves face, how do you think they should go about this then?
What I say is that the developing world needs to take on sustainability, not because the Western world cannot do it, but simply because the developing world is the majority of the world, 85% of the world. The Western world is 15%. The second problem is advanced Western economies, and the U.S. is exemplifying this a great deal at the moment, are not able to give up what they have. When you have so much, it's difficult. And the U.S. is basically, particularly under this president, saying, no, there's no problem. We want to be number one. We will continue our way of life, consumption, externalities, etc. Not a problem. We are number one. So for the West, it's difficult, and particularly given the notion that freedoms are unfettered, the individual is king, etc. For the developing world, the question is very different. One, it's survival. So the developing world has to take a different economic path, which is the most difficult thing. Yet economic advice and paths that we should subscribe to, even in Malaysia, dare I say, is essentially based on economic models premised on 60 years of IMF, World Bank quantification of what growth is about. We have to have a very different trajectory, and we have to define what it is. That is hard work that we need to do. So it's survival. The second reason is essentially also their own legitimacy with governments, with their people. Because as the constraints start to kick in, people are going to be much more and more disenfranchised. And essentially, we are going to see more in the age of technology, as we've seen in 2019, upheavals in terms of people protesting. You know, but in Southeast Asia, we're going to have a very different look, especially as we reach 1 billion people over the next 30 years.
So coming back to Davos and the World Economic Forum, do you think it's still significant and relevant today?
I think it's relevant. I just think we should not be seduced. And I think, you know, one of the things people say is, can it be the place where decisions are taken, where the UN can't do things, etc.? I think the UN is a fundamental platform for doing this. The problem has been, and I've seen this at the Davos meetings and many of the global forums that are not government-led, etc., where governments have been seduced by essentially business forums, and it essentially all started to drink the Kool-Aid. And on sustainability, you know, you have this usual narrative. The theme is technology as the panacea for all of that. And when they say technology, they mean digital. I would argue the most important technology over the next 30 years for the world, and particularly in Southeast Asia, including Malaysia, is water treatment, wastewater treatment, toilets, sewers, pipes. Let's interconnect on those things, and then we can put the fiber optics in the sewers. But the idea that we should all be connected by the internet, nice, but it essentially doesn't get down to the basic needs that people have, and the vast majority of people don't have. So these conferences are important. But we cannot depend on Western thought leaders for these ideas, which is a feeling a lot in our region.
Thank you very much for speaking to us, Chandran. And that was Chandran Nair, economist and founder of the Global Institute for Tomorrow, giving us his thoughts on the World Economic Forum currently happening in Davos, Switzerland. I don't know why I get the feeling that Chandran is a little bit skeptical of all of the pontification, as he says, that's happening in Davos. But I think he did make the point there that this is the intellectual discourse that we need to mainstream. And I do tend to agree with him, despite the doubts of whether or not it'll actually get anything done.
Yeah, and despite it being so cold there, I guess it wasn't enough to clear that atmosphere of deep dishonesty over there in Davos, apparently. But I mean, it's a very refreshing take on Davos, because a lot of times there's a lot of hot air coming out of this forum of billionaires and rich people.
Clearly not enough to melt all the snow.
Clearly not enough. It's not enough hot air to do that, yes. But a lot of this is, like, it's fun and I'm sure they've got their own deals that are being struck there. But the fact is, 2 years ago when Donald Trump was there, no one gave him, no one really cared for it. But this year, suddenly, everyone's listening intently to his speech.
I mean, to me, it's just a camp for the rich. You know, it's like where everybody who's anybody gets together up on a nice mountain hill in Switzerland and they're like, oh, you know.
How much more elite can you get?
Yeah, really? It's like the networking of the networking, right? The pinnacle of everything. But does it get anything done? I'm not sure. Maybe behind the scenes, there are some discussions because in the past, there have been some political wins up there in Davos. I think it was over some, I can't remember, it's during the Israeli time, I think there were some talks with the Palestinians that did take off at Davos, but seldom. I think most of the time there's a lot of, we're here for the good of mankind. So it's a very good PR spin. But fortunately, maybe there's a little bit of differences here because you do have some younger leaders. Greta Thunberg is there this year. Maybe she can make a difference. And it's also good for her to have a platform like that.
Yeah, but it comes back down to, I guess a lot of what we see is not what actually happens there, right? I'm sure all the effects that take place are all these dealings behind closed doors and all these other agreements and deal-making that's happening over there.
Yes, and we will nevertheless be keeping a close eye out on what's coming out of the World Economic Forum in Davos. But right now, we have a few messages for you. And then up next, we'll be talking about BNM's OPR cut with economist Julia Goh. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.